And welcome back. So glad you could join us today. Well, it's been said that a dog is a man's best friend, but we think our next guest would dispute that. Her name is Lisa Dominique, and she is the author of the new children's book, The Adventures of Harvey, the Wonder Dog. She joins us today to talk about Harvey, the inspiration for this book. Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Happenings Q&A.
Thanks. I'm happy to be a guest.
Well, yeah, I can tell just by your voice.
Thanks.
Yes. Is that enthusiasm always there?
Generally, yeah. I'm a pretty upbeat person, I guess. That sounds kind of corny, but yeah.
No, upbeat is good. Upbeat is good. Would you agree, Lisa, that when it comes to a dog, their love seems to be unconditional?
Oh, absolutely. On the positive side, absolutely. On the negative side, it makes me sad sometimes that a dog's love is unconditional because they get abused and they still love you.
Right.
So I just tried to make it my life's mission to love as many dogs as I can, you know, no matter what shape they've been in. I've had many dogs in my life, and most of them have been strays. Harvey was not, but most of them have been strays, and they just love you no matter what.
I know. You know, I'm married, and sometimes I'm in the doghouse. And, it's one of those situations where, you know, there can be a little discord, and things don't get resolved right away.
Yeah.
And so I'll come home, and and she's not there with a big smile on her face and open arms. But our dog, Jake, he's always happy to see me no matter what.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't care that you're feuding with your wife or your boss or your children. He's just like, hey, pet me. You got a treat?
So tell us about Harvey. How old is he and what kind of breed is he?
Well, Harvey is, I think I'm going to have to move inside. My next door neighbor is doing some work. I just noticed they started to do some sawing. So
some yard work,
come on.
Huh?
Yeah, something. Come on, Harvey, inside.
Does Harvey always do the interviews with you?
He's with me, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, even if he's not exactly right next to me, if we're at a restaurant, he's with me in my heart, in my spirit. So,
yes.
Yeah.
But there are there are some restaurants, those al fresco situations where you actually, dogs are welcome now, from what I understand.
Yes, as long as they're, outside. I know in Paris you can bring your dog everywhere. I was really excited to see that, but I thought, it takes 6 months to get your dog over there.
you're right. We were in Cannes, France, and we were in a McDonald's, and there were dogs in McDonald's.
Yeah, it's a different culture.
But then they were also serving beer at that McDonald's, too, so there
and
are other
wine.
Things that are different, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Harvey. How old is he?
You asked me. He is two. Well, let's see. November 18, December, January, February, March, April. He's almost 2.5 years old. So he's 2 years and 5 months old, and he's a yellow English Labrador Retriever. So he's what they call a bench lab. He's not your typical. You know how in Marley and Me, the dog was quite sleek and had the longer snout. Harvey is of the English variety, and he is a big, boxy, square head, and he's very sturdy.
Right, I'm looking at a picture of him right now with floppy ears.
Oh, very floppy, floppy ears, cute.
Okay,
soft.
So that explains when you referred to him as a rodeo on paws, he's still got puppy in him.
Oh, yeah, Labradors, I've never had a full-blooded, anything really, except for St. Bernard until I had Harvey, because they were, mutts and stuff, but they say Labradors are puppies for years, and I have to say, he's as much of a puppy as he was the day that I brought him home. And his face, he's still got this little, puppy face, and, I don't even know why.
Lisa, I can tell already, you're smitten. You are smitten with Harvey.
I know. Well, it's funny, because I didn't really choose him. I had his, Harvey, he just ran into me. He's 98 pounds, so he's kind of a load. So when he runs into you,
said boxy, you were right. 98 pounds? He's a big boy.
Well, yeah, part of that is my problem because he hasn't gotten out as much as he should have because I've been working crazy long hours.
Sure.
But I'm in broadcasting, and so I've been doing these crazy hours, and he hasn't gotten the exercise that he should. But he... He's about 10 pounds overweight. But even at 88 pounds, he'd be a big boy. He's just very stocky and broad.
Right.
But I forgot what was I saying before?
Well, we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
I'm curious. What were the circumstances behind Harvey becoming a part of your life?
Well, that's interesting. It's funny. Everybody always asks me that. He was
just a logical
gift.
Question, Lisa.
It is.
It begs to be asked. It really
yeah.
does.
Yeah. In my situation, it's a little bit loaded, but, you know, he was a Christmas gift, one of my Christmas gifts to me from
Whoa.
Someone that I was seeing at the time.
You know,
yeah.
a lot of times people, you know, like with the local shelters and that, they're a little reluctant to have people giving, you know, living, breathing animals for Christmas gifts, but...
Well, he was from a breeder up in, actually, Middleton, Wisconsin? I don't remember.
Sure, there's
a
Middleton, yes.
Yeah, he was a breeder north of Madison, and my boyfriend at the time had wanted to give me this dog, and he'd been talking about it for months, and I was, like, reluctant because I hadn't had a dog for a long time because I work so much, but it seemed like the thing to do, and
okay,
our relationship
so he
was progressing.
He didn't just spring this on you. There were discussions, conversations about it. So you didn't just you didn't open up a big box thinking that it was going to be that it was going to be a new TV and out springs Harvey.
No. And even if it was a surprise and out sprang Harvey, that would be the best possible gift ever in the whole wide world. But no, we had talked about it, and so I knew that, and then the puppies were going to be ready just shortly after Christmas, and. This was my first experience buying, as I said, you know, from a breeder. I didn't buy, but I went out, and there were these 8 puppies. He had 7 brothers and sisters, and it was like a pile of love. You know, it was the first day they were allowed to be taken home, and we went up there, and he's like, well, you know, whatever you think, you know, and I said, oh, my, I wouldn't even know where to begin, and it took me 2 hours, and I had these puppies, like, crawling all over me, and I started to cry because the emotion was so strong.
Well, Lisa, was there a fleeting moment when you thought, well, maybe I could take 2?
Oh, definitely, because his little sister was just the sweetest little tiny thing, and the breeder said, well, you know, you said you wanted an active puppy, one that would run with you, because I'm a runner. I said, well, yeah. He said, well, she's not going to be quite the runner, but this one that keeps on crawling into your lap and pushing her out. Guess who that was?
Yes, that was Harvey.
Exactly. He's really active now, but keep in mind, he will need a lot of activity. I didn't know at the time he was the pick of the litter, but breeders know those things. They know when they're going to be dominant, or they know when they're going to be active, or, you know, more sleepy or whatever. And she said, this one seems to like you. And I said, yeah. I said, he seems a little pushy, though. He keeps trying to push his sister out. She goes, I think he's choosing you. And I said, yeah, I guess. And so I kept looking at him, and he kept parading back in front of him for me, you know, back and forth. And
right. And
I just said, you know what? This is my boy. This is my boy. And as soon as I did that, he just came and curled in my lap, and talk about smitten. I felt head over heels. Oh,
But there was that fleeting moment where it could have gone the other way. You had at least considered the female.
Yeah.
For a moment.
For a moment, and then I said to my boyfriend, I said, well, maybe, you know, 2. And he's like, hey,
well,
you're the one who didn't even want, you know, maybe to get 1. So
and then it would,
I said,
would it then have been like Henrietta the Wonder Dog?
Huh? No, it would not have been Harvey. That name came across. Well, that's sort of it's somewhat related to the gentleman that I was involved with. This is his middle name, and we had a few names. We had Elvis picked out as a name.
Elvis is good.
Yeah,
but you didn't date Elvis, did you?
Didn't date Elvis? Oh no.
Okay.
No,
yeah, you're too young.
Yeah, way too young for that. Henry. Which is the name his daughter wanted, and so we kind of threw out all 3 names, and Harvey is the one he just, like, his ears perked up, and he went, yeah, and he bounded toward me, and that's how he named himself.
Right. If he responded to that, all the more reason to name him Harvey.
Exactly. And there's such a quality about him. He's, I don't know, and he ended up getting me through several months of very, very difficult time in my life emotionally, just the relationship that didn't quite go the way I thought it would go, some health scares, loss of my job, and, you know,
Are you
Harvey,
okay now? I mean, the health scares, that's all been resolved, hopefully?
Yeah,
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I'm pretty sure,
good.
Yeah.
All right. Because, we read that he helped you through some of the saddest periods in your life, and we're not going to pry. We don't want the details.
I don't want to go into it.
No. But how about this? How about sharing with us some of the happiest times that he lived with you? I mean, that, can you elaborate on that one?
Where do I
Happy's begin? Good. Happy's good.
Happy is every day. Every day when I wake up, well, he wakes me up because he licks me on the face, or he paws me sometimes, not so good because I have scratches on the right side of my face a lot of times. He's like, I got to go out, you know. So every day is a happy moment for me. Honestly, every day that I wake up and I see him, or every day he jumps into my lap, even though it hurts, every time we go running down at the beach, or I throw the stick for him. I mean, little, simple, tiny things. When I've been taking him recently to, well, my mom's been in a nursing facility. She hasn't mm-hmm. been doing well. And so I've been taking him there because it gives her extreme joy. Oh, my heavens, the people there.
So,
they
in
respond.
Other words, besides being the focal point of a book, he could be a therapy dog, is what you're saying.
Oh, that's definitely something that I, when I get back on my feet, just because kind of had a rough time being out of work and stuff, I am definitely getting him trained for a therapy position, because this dog, what he does for other people, what he did for me, I'm already seeing he can do. Pardon me?
Did you say Kevin?
No, haven't been out of work.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, having been, yeah.
Yes.
What he does for other people, he's done for me, and what I've seen what he can do for other people is just, it's just healing, it's therapeutic, it's joy. Their faces light up. Some people who haven't moved or they haven't for months, I guess, the nurses said, oh, my gosh, her eyes flickered. And I thought, you know what, this is worth it.
Yes.
It's gratifying, and it just, I don't know, I like sharing
right.
with love.
You know? If you're just tuning in, this is more than just a couple of dog lovers comparing notes here. This is Lisa Dominique. She is, Lisa, I got to confess, your name was presented, it was like, yeah, let's get her on. Even if the book wasn't any good, it'll be an easy hour because you're a professional broadcaster. Come on now, don't be modest. You have worked on some of the biggest stations, and so I knew it was going to be an easy hour.
Oh, well,
and so
I enjoy
far,
talking
this is,
to nice people.
You know, so, okay, obviously, Harvey was the inspiration for this book, but what about the mechanics? How did you go about finding an illustrator for it?
Oh my gosh, honestly, everything was so incredibly serendipitous for how this all came apart together.
I like
how I
that
found
word.
The illustrator. Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. It completely applies to this. I was sort of rooting about, like, asking different people, and people like, oh, go to the college or the high school, and I sort of looked around. I said, this is just not the whimsy I'm looking for. This is not the attitude. This is not the quality. And I, was trying to keep costs down, but I thought, I want to do this right. I want to do justice to what I've put down on paper and the dog that I feel it represents. And a gentleman, a friend of mine, well, I didn't really know him directly, but I knew him. We'd both worked at the Loop, the WLUP in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Many, in early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and he was, I don't know, he was one of the jocks, and I was on in the mornings with Johnny Brandmeier and with mm-hmm. the other guys and during the day, but I knew of him. His name is Mitch Michaels, and he sent me a Facebook note, and he said, Lisa, if you are looking for an illustrator, I suggest you check out ChrissyVales.com, and I said, well, sure, whatever, and so I kind of, a week or so later, I thought, gee, I got to get on this, and so I went to her website, and I looked, and I went nuts. I said, oh, my gosh, this is my soul book mate, I knew instantly. I thought, oh, I hope she's not too busy. I hope she likes the text.
I hope she's affordable.
Yes, and everything. I mean, I was willing to pay whatever for her because I knew we were soul sisters in what we our visions were.
And
she had the whimsy and everything.
Right, and you know, it's important, especially with children's books, that the author has a certain chemistry with the illustrator. I mean,
extremely.
And you know, in many cases, because we've had illustrators on. Steve Schindler's been on our, and he's done many. Award-winning books and you know, a lot of times he never even sees the author. He has no contact with the person that wrote the copy. It all goes through a book editor, and you know.
Oh, wow.
So you're fortunate that you were able to do this hands-on.
Well, she's in Phoenix, though.
Make that connection, because then you're able to share the vision and keep the control.
Yes, well, you know, in many respects, I do appreciate that aspect of it. I mean, she's in Phoenix, and we still have not met face-to-face. But after I saw her website, I called her up immediately, and I said, I'm going to send this to you. I hope you will read it. I hope you will like it, and I hope you will want to work with me. She called me back 5 minutes after she read it, and she said, when do we start? You know, it was like, all right. And so we have not met face to face, but we had an instant chemistry over the phone and with our vision of what we wanted to accomplish.
But along the way, was there kind of a give and take process here? Were there revisions, and did you communicate your vision with her? And
absolutely. Right. I had told her, I said, well, first of all, just about everything that is featured, you know, in the text has happened. I mean, the only thing we took a little liberty with was the 4th of July page. I mean, there wasn't actually a guy with a, you know, link of sausages hanging out of his pocket, although there could be. That's really crazy.
Yeah. I think they call that embellishment, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay in movies and publishing and that. I mean, that's, you got to have a little bit of that because you want to sell the book. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, you have to use your imagination. How about obstacles? What were some of the obstacles that you had overcome?
The obstacles came later, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't an obstacle because I sent her photos, you know, and she made illustrations of everything that I had sent her, and then she put her own spin on it, which made it even more wonderful. So that kind of was good with that. The only obstacle that I ran into was my publisher got really, really busy with two of his other authors' books, and that was unanticipated. And frankly, I was on a timeline, and someone had told me, hey, in this business, this is not boom, 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 voiceover, do this advertising, like how what you're used to. You're going to be put aside, or you're going to be pushed up, or you're going to get used to it. I said, I don't have that luxury of time right now. I need to sell a book, because I need a job and I need to do something, and you know.
Right, but publishing is a very tedious process.
Yes, I found that out. So what ended up happening is I ended up sort of taking control of the entire project in mid-November, and I just said, you know what, I'll take it from here. I've got to get this done, because I had hoped to have it published by September and, you know, get it placed in all the. And he said, you know, I'm so overwhelmed with all this other stuff. Lisa, you're going to be fine. You know, I have no doubt that you'll figure it out. And I thought, hope you're right. So I did. And Lynn Dangel of Dangel Advertising in Lake Forest, they're quite a renowned small advertising, but with very large ideas and very large accounts. She was like an angel for me. She directed me to a designer of hers who actually had designed books for the Art Institute. And she said, she may be able to help you out. And she pushed me in the right direction, and she connected me with the right people, and that designer connected me with all the right people, the binders and the printers, and I made sure that everything was done in the USA, which cost a lot more, but I didn't care. And if we're not for Lynn Dangel, this book would not have been on the shelves by December 14th.
Okay, so how many books are sitting in your house right now as we speak?
I only have about 200 left.
Oh, really?
Out of my first printing, yeah.
Very good, Lisa.
It's gone very well.
Very good. Well, let's interject right here. If somebody wants to purchase your book, how would they do that?
Oh, very easily. Well, I would suggest, first of all, Amazon.com.
Sure.
Just type in Harvey the Hungry Dog or my name or Harvey the Wonder Dog or The Adventures of Harvey the Wonder Dog, and it should pop up.
Okay.
Or they can go to my website. Right now my widget is acting up. My PayPal widget is acting up on my the
Don't you just hate
website.
It when that happens?
I do, because, you know, I one of the skills I taught myself in my time off was I thought, you know, I got to reeducate myself, take, you know, do something with this time off while I'm searching for work and getting back into broadcasting.
Didn't you go out and buy yourself a Mac and do your own website?
I did. Wow, you are good with your research. Holy moly.
You're a take charge woman. You know that? You really are.
I'm a survivor. That's true. I guess I am. I went out and I bought a Mac and I took Mac classes and I built the website. And boy, was that something for somebody who, you know, I've sold phones for a telecom company for 6.5 years. And honestly, I really didn't even know what I was selling. And I can't believe that people bought from me, because I'm like, yeah, I think you do this and whatever.
You know what?
And I was wildly
successful. Lisa, it's, you know why they bought? It's your personality.
Yes,
looks,
that's sweet of you
looks,
to say.
Looks and personality will get you a long ways in this world. You know that. In fact,
well,
that you know
hurt.
What? That might explain why you did 6.5 years of pharmaceutical sales.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, after leaving, I was in broadcasting for 15 years, doing morning news and co-hosting morning shows for 15 years in California and here. And then I did go into pharmaceutical sales for 6.5 years. For a major, the largest firm at the time.
Right. You know,
and,
if I may interject here,
yeah.
I have never met an unattractive pharmaceutical salesperson, male or female. Is that a prerequisite? Do they have to be good looking to get a job?
That's nice of you to include me in that group, but,
it's
you know,
true.
I'd have to say that I think that that's one of the screening.
Yes, I know it is. I know it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a hypochondriac. I'm in a lot of doctor's offices, okay? Trust me, they're all good-looking. They're all good-looking.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's behind that, but I think it seems, at least it worked for a long time for that.
But didn't
that
you,
industry.
Come on, Lisa, there's got to be conventions or something that you go to or seminars, and doesn't everybody look around in the room at each other and say, wow. Where are the ugly people?
I guess, you know, possibly. I didn't even think about that the whole time I was working for that firm. I was so consumed with just keeping up with the ever-changing medical technology.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
right.
Oh, my gosh, it was daunting, really. I did that because I had great benefits, and I was coming off a divorce, and I needed to really get my life together. I needed some work stability.
Those 13 years of
sales were not my favorite.
But you mean there isn't stability in radio?
Yeah.
You know what,
right.
though? Lisa, I you know, in my many forays into the doctor's offices, I do have to ask, how are those lunches that they bring? They look like they could be pretty nice lunches. Did you ever do that?
As many as I could. It was excellent. Are you kidding? Free lunch every day, and I'd get to choose. You know, it was like, yeah, let's have Italian. Let's have.
Yes. So you're not only are you bringing free samples, pharmaceutical samples, you come bearing lunch.
Oh yeah, well that of course the food is the great.
That's the key,
pardon?
Right? That opens the door, yes. But hey,
yeah,
we're here to talk about the adventures of Harvey the Wonder Dog. Now, does Harvey accompany you at book signings and readings?
Yes, he does. At any of the ones, there have only been a couple so far that he hasn't been able to attend, and that was just for whatever reasons that a school had or you know, certainly at a restaurant, places where they serve food. I can't bring him inside, but I have had him outside in the car, or I have one of my friend's daughters. She dresses up in this costume that my stepmother made of, it looks like Harvey. It's like Harvey, you know, it's my costume, but it's like Harvey's mommy costume. And, I dressed her up in that, and she walks around with flyers, or she walks around with Harvey outside. So either way, he's always involved with the process.
Now, you have a signing on Saturday, this coming Saturday, correct?
Yes, I do, and this one should be really fun.
And that's at, what, Pasquazi's?
Yes, Pasquazi's Garden Center on Waukegan Road.
So that's one where Harvey would be there, right?
Oh, Harvey will definitely be there. In fact, they're going all out. They've even had Harvey cookies made that look like Harvey. It's
really
cute. Yeah.
So this would be the one that I should bring my 6-year-old daughter to, right?
Oh, please do. I hope that you will.
Yeah, it's not that far away. It's right on Waukegan Road.
Kenosha?
Yeah, it's an easy drive.
Oh, that's a very easy drive. I love Kenosha. Sure.
The only thing,
definitely.
The only thing that troubles me is that's kind of a marginal neighborhood there in Lake Bluff.
You mean like marginally wonderful?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Marginally wonderful, yes. It's not exactly the urban center that we have to fear. So this is going to take place on Saturday, April 17th from 1 to 3. And Pasquazi's is on Waukegan Road. What's the intersecting road there?
It's just south of Route 176. It's actually on something called Lakeshore Drive or something like 975 North Lakeshore Drive. But
176, that wouldn't be that far from where Barra College was, right? Isn't that?
Right. Well, Barra College is just off of Route 60 and
that's 60.
Kind of that.
Okay.
Yeah,
never mind. Okay.
That's farther south.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I know. Okay, now I know where we're. Yeah, I know exactly where this is.
If you're coming from Kenosha, you would have to get off at Route 137 and then take Waukegan Road south, and then it's right there just as you get past Route 176. It's just, half a mile down and on your left, and you see a huge sign. It says Pasquazi's Garden Center, and I'll tell you something. It's a terrific place for any kind of landscaping needs, and they have all kinds of gift things, and they really cater to dogs. In fact, people should bring their dogs with them because it's extremely, as you might imagine, dog-friendly. And they
really
have a lot of cute... Oh, yeah. I mean, they approached me about it because, Harvey's been going there since he was a tiny puppy. But they said, gosh, we should have the book signing here. I said, yeah, we should. Let's do it. And they said, tell all your friends with their kids and their dogs to come. And so I'm passing that along. Bring your dogs.
And that's going to be on Saturday from 1 to 3.
And 1 to 3.
Now, the book, it's designed for what ages?
I really thought 4 to 8, and that seems to be where it's falling in, although it's interesting. Younger children, parents have told me, they will buy it for their 4, 5, or 6, or 7-year-old or something, and the younger kids gravitate towards it because, as you can see, I'm sure you have a copy, right?
It's very visual.
Yeah, it's extremely visual and very colorful. And so the younger children are just entranced by the color and the silliness of his situations that are illustrated in there, and they love it. And so when I speak to the younger children, like last week I did 2 days at a preschool he's getting antsy. I did 2 days at a preschool, and some of the kids were 2 years old, and so I just talked around the story because the text is a little sophisticated. I have to say, there are words in there that even some 7-8-year-olds are going to go, culinary? I don't get it. But you know what? It stretches. It makes them think about
it.
Let them reach.
That's how you learn.
That was my intention. And, even when it was being edited, I said, no, I want to leave this or that in, and if that goes against me, that's too bad. But I want to have those kids who say, what does that mean? Or I don't get it. Or, can we look it up? Or have a parent say, let's look it up. Something like that.
Right.
And that's how I learned.
Exactly. You need to be inquisitive to learn. If I could share this with our listeners, this is a situation where you are reading to a group. It's here. Let me just read this. But then something wonderful and unexpected happens that makes it all worthwhile. A child says one simple thing, and it all makes sense. I had just finished reading my book aloud at our local library to a group of around 10 children and asked them if they liked it. Immediately, one of the little boys in the group blurts out, read it again. It was all I needed to hear, and so I did, and they all stayed, and we read it again. There's just something so magical sometimes about a group of children when you got their control, when they really enjoy what they're doing, and they'll sit there and be so patient and go through it all again because they truly like it.
And Frank, I have to say that has been one of the best, if not the best moment, because it was relatively early on. I think it was in February at the Lake Bluff Library reading. And I remember that moment as if just in a crystalline kind of way. I couldn't believe it. I just said, oh my gosh, this is exactly what any author would want to hear.
That was music to your ears, Lisa.
Yeah.
And
he said it so joyfully, and the other kids were like, yeah, yeah. I thought, all right, this is it. This is why you do it.
So now, Harvey the Wonder Dog, Harvey the Hungry Dog, this isn't the first in what's going to be a series, right?
Yes. This is my first book, period, but it's also the first in this series. The series will be called The Adventures of Harvey the Wonder Dog, and he does have a cape, and yes, he does wear it, and he will be wearing it on Saturday.
Well, this is great. We could even bring our dog, Jake.
Please do, please. And the second one, if you on the back cover, it shows, well, it portrays the next one in the next book in the series, which I'm hoping to, I'd like to get on. I've got it started, but Harvey Finds His Smile. And that's going to be the next book in the series. And I already have outlines for the next, actually, 3 to 4 books. But the next one is going to be Harvey Finds His Smile.
But Lisa, what's even more important? How are the merchandising deals going, the licensing?
Oh.
That's where the real money is.
It really is. You know, and honestly, don't think I don't have people looking into that stuff
minute. I believe it. I believe that you do.
Yeah, so, I do. We have already done a little bit of that,
right.
But that's something that I want to do. I mean, gee whiz, the book just came out December 14th, and you know, I'm like, oh boy,
right.
This is really something.
Too bad you didn't get it out in December, which was originally your goal for Christmas time. But you know what? The nice thing is there's always another Christmas, and there's always youngsters reaching that 4 to 8 age bracket. You know, So can we talk a little bit about your broadcasting career?
Certainly.
All right. You worked with Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer and Kevin Matthews, all three individuals I've had some interaction with. And Kevin was, what a delight he was. I brought him up here, and he did an Ed Zeppelin concert for us.
Oh, I'm not surprised. He is so funny.
Yes, he is. And you know, and it still mystifies me that he's in Michigan. He's no longer in Chicago radio. It must have been by his choice or just the harsh realities of the broadcasting world. But
I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to Kevin for a while. But I don't know. I think he's still living in the Chicago area, but I do believe he's in Grand Rapids, as far as I know.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And we all know Steve Dahl is penning that human interest column or observations of life column for the Tribune right now.
Yes, but, and he's also doing podcasts.
Right. And he sure has mellowed with age, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I like it.
In a good way.
Yeah, I like it. I'm working, I was primarily on Johnny's show in the morning, but I did all the news and traffic fill-in on the other day part, so I did get to know everybody. And to be honest, you know, it was a wonderful roller coaster ride working with Steve, you know, and Gary in the afternoon, and I really enjoyed the times that we were there. But because of, you know, the issues, which he's been very public about, his, you know, substance issues,
sure.
They were, it was sometimes difficult. You know, it was sometimes dicey.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
You worked with Jerry Springer over at WGN, right?
Yeah. They were last year, March of last year, they were looking for somebody to fill that time slot, that afternoon time slot. And Jerry, they were talking to him. I don't know. I mean, he was already had the Stamford, Connecticut thing. I think that was almost inked to move the show there, but
yeah, because it's a lot cheaper to produce things there.
Oh, they also got huge tax incentives to move. So I understood that, but it wasn't quite done. The deal wasn't done yet, and they were maybe thinking about, I don't know what exactly, but there was a possibility, and I was asked to co-host with him, and boy, did we hit it off. I mean, I'm hoping to get the sound. I still don't have the sound from that, but I'm hoping to get that up on my website soon, but we hit it off and we had a blast.
What is he like?
He is a delight. He's brilliant. He's a little bit of a bad boy. I mean, he was very polite and very much a gentleman to me. And he definitely, you know, looks at you out of the corner of your eye and he's checking you out. But he was very polite and very smart and fun. And I said to him outright, even on the air, I said, gosh, Jerry, you know, I've never watched your show.
You know,
I said, and I never will. And he goes, I like you even more now. You really do have brains. So, you know, you can say anything to
him. I got to tell you, I never watched his show either, but I came across an article. They did an edited transcript of his commencement address to the 2008 graduating class at Northwestern University Law School. And what he said, some of the things he said were so poignant and thoughtful. And after reading that, I came away with a whole different image of Jerry Springer.
Yeah, and I can see where you would, because that's really who he is. I mean, as he has said, and I think he even said that day that we were on there, he said, all I do is I show up, I don't know what's going on. He said, I show up, and then I introduce people, and then I stand back, and then that's it. And really, that's not who he is, but it's making him a real nice living. And who he is, I think, is that thoughtful person who has that bad boy side, but he's smart, and he knows what to do.
Well,
when to do it.
Right. In this commencement address, if I may just share this with our listeners, he told these law graduates, he says, I am not superior to the people on my show, and you are not superior to the people you will represent. I thought those were some pretty insightful words.
Well, yeah.
But you know what? There's so much more I'd like to talk to you about, but unfortunately we're up against that harsh reality that they call commercial breaks, and the hour's almost over with. But
really? Wow.
Yes, it went fast. I knew it would go fast because, you know, you're just magical. You're on.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you.
You have a very good on-air persona. Lisa Dominique, the book is The Adventures of Harvey the Wonder Dog. And once again, you can just go to Amazon.com and get it, right?
Yeah, I would recommend that at this point because that PayPal thing is not working right now, and I just don't want to miss any orders. I know. Oh, Harvey just said goodbye. Did you hear him?
Yeah, but we're going to see Harvey Saturday at Pasquazi's, which is on 176 and Waukegan Road in Lake Bluff. And you'll be there with him between 1 and 3, correct?
I will, and I look forward to meeting you and your daughter. I know, honey.
All right, okay.
Definitely.
Thank you, Harvey. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on your show. I guess it is both of us now.
Okay. Lisa, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
All right, that's Lisa Dominique. The book is The Adventures of Harvey the Wonder Dog on AM 1050 WLIP.